IVM. You're listening to the podcast presented by the Daily Pow.
This is Pronuti and I'm from the Daily Pow, a Bombay-specific food and culture platform, and this is our weekly podcast, The Podcast. Now, in this episode, we're going to be speaking to Nikki Gupta and Bhakti Mehta, who run a series of experimental dinners called Two Aprons. This is an episode of Bombay Binge in which we talk about food in the city. So stay tuned for Bombay Binge.
Bombay Binge.
Now, in this episode of Bombay Binge, I'm by myself. My colleagues Amit and Purva are stuck in traffic. So you'll just have to bear with my voice throughout. We're going to be interviewing Nikki Gupta and Bhakti Mehta, who run Two Aprons, a series of experimental dinners inspired by their travels. And they've currently had two dinners so far. Just a bit of background, Bhakti Mehta runs a popular catering service called Little Food Daily. And Nikki Gupta runs Mia Cucina, which is an Italian restaurant in Powai. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
You know, just a while back, we were having a conversation about, you know, just how you started this. So can you tell us about your holiday in Hong Kong that led to this?
So we decided to take a food trip to Hong Kong earlier, mid last year, actually, in July. And we ended up visiting about 20 to 22 restaurants.
And over how many days?
5 days.
Right. So that's 4 meals a day.
Yeah, I think we kept hopping through and through doing this. What was great was it was absolutely a food trip. So that's what the focus was all about. It's Hong Kong's absolutely modern with its cuisine and everything that they do around it. They're very updated in terms of food trends. So everything that we ate and we experienced was at par with what's happening all across the globe.
Did you guys know you wanted to do this dinner before you went on the trip?
No.
So you went on the trip and then you figured that this is something that you would like, that Cantonese food is something that you would like to bring here.
As in, I traveled twice and the first time I came back very inspired. You know, that's how I ended up doing Taco Bao, and we made bows in a certain format which we had I'd seen and learned in Hong Kong.
This is in Little Food Daily.
This is in Little Food Co. Yeah, Little Food Company.
Right.
And then we were talking and we're like, we should do this trip. It's really good. And, you know, we can do only a food trip. And you need to go with food people. So both of us got together and we went there and we just came back feeling like we've got to do this. We have to, you know, bring down some of it here. Why not? And it's also coming from what I spoke to you earlier, that it's also from the perspective of us doing what we would like to do and, you know, kind of using different ingredients, different experiments. And we just thought that we should try it out at home. And we did that for my husband's birthday. And it turned out to be like something we really got kicked about. And we decided to take it forward and we did came out with Two Aprons.
Okay, so both the dinners were Cantonese dinners.
Yes.
Yes.
And so what were some of the items that you served?
So we did, you know, like gyozas. We had the Sichuan red oil wontons, which was pork based. We had your dandan noodles. These are like your really like popular Cantonese, you know.
And did you bring the ingredients from Hong Kong?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We came back with a lot of it. In fact, now we'll have to call for more.
Okay. And so so you want to continue doing Cantonese food?
For a while, at least. Yeah. For the next at least
Two or three
dinners.
Okay.
We would like to, because there's so much more left to explore. Like, we did eat in a lot of restaurants and we were inspired so much.
But like, was it challenging to, you know, make Cantonese food here? Like, do you guys have experience with Chinese food? I mean, like, what were some of the challenges of this?
I mean, the challenges were obviously the, you know, to marry the ingredients from what we got from there with the local stuff that we're using here, right? Like, we've got very basic stuff that we could have carried back from Hong Kong. But
What are some of the
Sichuan
things?
Peppercorns, you know, black vinegar. There are different, like, doubanjiang, like this paste that we don't get anywhere. And so it's basically different types of chilies that are used across, you know, that cuisine, which we don't get here. But I can't fly in so much stuff from there. So the idea was to use Indian available ingredients as well. So the challenge literally was that, you know, to match that flavor that we remember what we tasted, the memory of what we've done.
Yeah.
But they, instead of getting caught up doing that, we just decided to kind of create a dish which we think we can present correctly versus, you know, trying to imitate something which we can't.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you guys call yourselves the Two Aprons. Yes. Because there's two of you. And can you just talk about the division of labor, like who does what?
So it's basically an amalgamation of kitchen and service together. So food and service, because that's what a good experience is all about.
Right.
So Bhakti does all the magic in the kitchen. Right. And everything to do with the service and the experience is what I bring to the table.
Right.
And that's why we want to call it Two Aprons, because you use aprons for service as well as how you do the kitchen together.
Right, right.
So okay. That's how we came up with Two Aprons.
Well, there are, you know, a whole bunch of pop-ups in Bombay now, like a whole bunch of home chefs doing these regular pop-up meals. So, you know, now that these are so popular, is this something that sort of gave you confidence to do this? Or
like, oh, yeah. Absolutely, because I mean, I think they open the market for something like this to happen, right? The fact that people are looking for a different experience. In fact, how she spoke about Two Aprons, even the idea of what service or even the experience brings, it's we're just not doing the food. I mean, the last one that we did in this really beautiful garden. It was a private one, but the idea was that we want to create an experience. It's not just the food, but the whole 3 hours that you're coming there. You know, we even had cocktails to go with it, mm-hmm. Which were again done with Asian ingredients, and that was that made it what it is, right? People who went back did not just feel that they ate a good meal versus they actually enjoyed a good 3 hours with a kind of mix of people. We made sure that the people who came together didn't sit together. They in fact sat with different people, so they would even have a different conversation.
Right.
So I think it was all of that, and that's what we're trying to do. So even for us, for the next one, we're going to look for again a venue also that adds a little bit to it rather than just doing it because we want to present the food.
Okay.
That's how we both are looking at it.
Okay. Do you know when the next one is?
February.
Okay. You don't have a date yet?
Nor no. A date yet.
Okay, but February.
Yeah.
So, and this will be open to the public? Right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All are open to public, yeah.
Okay. So how much more Cantonese do you think you have like left to go through?
So the thing is, you know, every meal, if it's going to be, we're doing it 12 to 15 people max in
and
a day,
right?
And
how many courses is it?
Seven plus courses.
Yeah, Vakti says seven, but then when you can't eat, I think you're eating about 10 to 11 courses because
right,
there's so
yeah.
many hidden courses that they don't know about, but there's a lot of food coming on that table.
Right.
So, I mean, we have a lot more to go. Also, it's not a lot of people who've yet tried it, right? The idea of that we've reached out only to 60 people in the last, 60, 70 people in the last two events.
Right.
It's for a lot more. So I think even if we do another cuisine, we'll keep coming back to,
right.
you know, the favorites right. eventually.
So this is something that you said that when you ate in Hong Kong, you
yeah.
found that even the non-Cantonese food referenced Cantonese food in some way.
Yes.
So in your menus, are you doing something similar?
Yes. That's
okay.
that's the yeah. idea, that even if we change the cuisine, we might be, you know, combining, I wouldn't say fusion, but fusion is a slightly yeah. disturbing word, but I would just say amalgamating different ingredients to use in different kind of cuisines
yeah.
and using maybe Sichuan peppercorn in the next one as well. Like,
right.
we're not sure, but yeah.
But in the two dinners that you've done, have mm-hmm. all the items been like traditional Cantonese or have you done any like contemporary stuff?
We did contemporary as well. Yeah,
yeah
okay. we combined it.
For example,
maybe the eggplant salad is something that's actually traditionally Chinese, like hardcore. Okay. But yeah, so we kind of went with that. Even
the chili rice.
Maybe
the fish. The fish, yeah, the fish.
The okay. fish was also something that, you know, we used the flavors, but it was pretty much my
thought
of how I want to present
yeah.
it. It was not pretty much like a traditional Cantonese.
Okay.
But in fish, we would have at least like 10 more to go. So within Cantonese.
Right.
So I know that our next one, we can
okay.
do more.
And like, are you replicating dishes that you ate or are you like making stuff up as well?
I mean,
both.
They're inspired. Yeah,
yeah,
they're inspired. And then as she said earlier that the ingredients, we are marrying two parts of the world together, right? So
right.
it does differ.
Okay.
But I mean, it's thoroughly, it is inspired from where we.
But even in Hong Kong, it was pretty much that.
It's like, pretty much that.
The very legendary, you know, old school places are following, obviously, the very traditional recipes. But everywhere else, it was like taking a bit of Korean, taking Mexican, taking Italian. And everywhere, they were using certain, or Thai. And were using a lot of like the Sichuan or using a lot of the techniques of Cantonese food. And, you know, so I think it was, that's how we've also applied it, that we've got it here and we're going to use the ingredients, but maybe not necessarily imitate.
Okay. Well, how would you compare the stuff that you're doing to, you know, the Chinese food landscape in Bombay? Like, obviously, I don't mean the, you know, the Chinese Indian stuff, but, you know, just in terms of, I don't know, I suppose the more higher end stuff. Like, how would you compare it?
Again, so I think that this is my personal view. I think most restaurants or even like my catering company, we get very caught up in what people are already used to. And, you know, people may not be that open to trying something new. So it's a smaller market. So as soon as that happens, I think we miss out. I mean, that's the reason we're doing this, right? We're doing this because we're trying to put out something different, hoping that, you know, maybe 20 people, maybe 30 people, maybe 40. It is going to be niche, but it is there. But the restaurants, I think, could have to probably stick within certain parameters of a menu and ingredients as well, availability. Right. We are doing it in a small scale. So for us to bring down something and, you know, do it quickly works versus having a continuous supply of something that's actually not available here.
Right.
It's not that simple. So I think that's the difference also that could happen.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, the food part is pretty clear, but can you just talk a bit about your role, like, you know, when it comes to service, what are you trying to put out?
So since I run a restaurant, I've realized that, you know, from the time they enter to the time they leave, is the entire part is an experience that they always remember. So however the food has been or not, because I've realized that you cannot cater to everyone's taste buds every time anyone walks in, but how they feel about it kind of balances things around it as well. So that's something we really wanted to pay attention over here. It's a smaller scale affair. We go more personalized. Like the last time we had name cards for everybody. And you know, the idea that you're spending 3 hours of your time with us and you believe us that we can make you feel good in terms of food and experience.
Yeah,
I think that's, you don't let them go any other way back. You have to let them feel complete and really make them have a good time. So even if it's service or it's on how you talk or how they're entertained and how they feel in terms of the ambience as well, it's so important. So that's something I take care of.
Okay.
Completely.
Yeah, I mean, I think from the venue, from the idea of promoting it, from the idea from even putting out, you know, the creatives, everything, that whole part to getting people there. And then once I'm in the kitchen, it's pretty much her doing, presenting us. Like, I mean, technically that's what happens. So from the time we announce the date to finishing the dinner, it's pretty much everything.
Okay. Well, you know, everyone's always complaining that restaurants in Bombay, you know, like maybe 7 out of 10 will be mediocre. You know, that's that's the complaint every diner, every foodie has about Bombay, that there are some good places, but there are just a lot of very mediocre places. And then you have these pop-ups, which seem to be doing, you know, interesting food. So, two questions here. I'm sure you guys have actually been to some of these pop-ups. I know you eat out a lot, Bhakti. You know, I see,
practically.
I see your Instagram feed.
Yeah.
So what are some of these other pop-ups that you like, both of you, that you've been to an experience and that you like, number one? And number two, do you think it's possible to say that some of the most interesting food that's being done in Bombay is being done in these pop-ups?
Personally, yes. Because only from the perspective, because like I said, like you said, that I eat out a lot, which means I have practically drained everything or every menu across. But I don't think mediocre, I'm not so sure, but it's just, I think, like I said, people are feeding what people want to eat. The mediocre restaurants probably do the best business today.
Right.
So I think it's that. But the pop-ups have this chance of taking it one step further. Yeah. So again, seasonality also plays a part here, which means I can work with seasonal ingredients, even if it's in smaller quantity. So I think the pop-ups also can do that. Again, I know most people who are running pop-ups do travel. Right. And they're coming back with either ingredients or experiences and doing that. So it works. That slight experimental. And I think because of the number of pop-ups that are there, I think it fits every kind of person who wants to attend, who is okay to experiment all the way, versus there are some which allow it to be, you know, in the range of what they understand versus they're used to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. I think the pop-ups are doing
so. What are some of the pop-ups that you guys have been to that you like?
I think
me, Max Street Kitchen.
Yeah,
is
Magazine Street Kitchen, I mean, quite a bit, actually.
I think that, and that would be the inspiration for any of us doing any of these other pop-ups, or even not
is there
a
like
restaurant.
A particular meal that you remember, because they get a different chef every time?
Yeah, I think I remember there was a chef called Gomez that had come down, and he did 7 courses from everywhere he's traveled to. So every course was a different cuisine.
Right.
And he used most of the local ingredients from here.
Okay.
And some that he probably would have got from there. But there were 7 courses of 7 different countries or continents probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was probably by far one of the best meals I'd eaten at Magazine.
At Magic Kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've liked the one at Danda Food Project.
Mm-hmm.
There was one with Neha Sumitran had done with the Danda team.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
And
it
that was I think, the one on Bombay Flowers.
Yeah, the Bombay Flowers.
The
it was a stunning concept, and they could actually present it like that. And I had gone with Purva from Daily Pav.
Yeah.
And we were, I think, stunned. And it was amazing. They also served like more than 9 courses that they had promised.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Okay. It was something I remember.
Okay. So where are you guys traveling to next?
Hopefully Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico. Yeah. Yeah.
Really
you guys were saying that you're really fond of Mexican food.
Yeah.
Something that has bafflingly never taken off in Bombay.
Surprise.
Right.
Really surprisingly.
Even though like the flavors are
very
so strong.
Close to
very,
us.
Close,
very close. Very close. Yeah.
So Mexican food is something that one can expect at Two Aprons.
Yes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Cool. So how can people who want to attend your dinners get in touch with you guys?
So we're updating everything on our Instagram page currently called The Two Aprons.
Okay.
So everything's for the next meal for Feb, everything's going to be coming out over there itself.
Okay. So guys, follow The Two Aprons on Instagram.
Yes, please.
So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week. For updates on city events, you can check out our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages. We're The Daily Pav on all 3. You can listen to the podcast on the IVM website, the IVM app or your favorite podcasting platform.